the seasons of life, the text, the title of our service as we begin our worship in this new year, the study of the book of Proverbs. The seasons of life, the The book of Proverbs teaches us the life of godly men. How to live a Christian life, a good Christian life. The Proverbs gives us that picture. And it provides for us also instruction, a book for every season. What is the season in your life right now? What are the challenges that you are facing in life today? We said that the Word of God, especially in the book of Proverbs, has a word for you to comfort, to strengthen, to instruct you in the ways of God. As children of God, we seek to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are born. We are Christians first, before we are a student, before we are a teacher, before we are retiring, before we are a nurse, before we are a doctor, before we are an accountant, before we are a father, before we are a son, we are a wife, we are a daughter. The theme of the book of Proverbs teaches us a right relationship with God as the basic principle in life. We need God's great wisdom at any time to choose the way of safety and blessing and to avoid the way of danger and cursing. This new year, 2018, what will it be for you as you think of what would was in 2017 and you think what will be in 2018? Well, you realize that you are at a loss to know what is ahead. You do not have a crystal ball to see what is ahead of us, not next minute, not the next hour. But God has given us His Word that enables us to have sufficient wisdom for this life's pathway. And this is what we are doing, embarking on this study. And we have also begun from the 1st of January the study of the book of Proverbs in our devotion. Together a daily devotion for you, and if you have not obtained a copy of it, it's available for us. And the study of God's Word instruction takes time. We need to take time to cultivate God's Word. Take time in order to understand the right way, the way of blessing, so that when the time comes, when you are faced with a decision, when you have to make a choice, this way or that way, to do this or do that, sometimes it's not for ourselves, it is for someone, perhaps in the family, your own children, your own spouses, your own your friend, your colleague in the workplace. Someone comes to you, someone in a little bit of a dilemma, enigma concerning life, and seek wisdom and seek counsel. We need that ready wisdom, and sometimes decisions has to be made on the spot immediately. What do you do? Well, the book of Proverbs gives to us wisdom for us to imbibe and learn. And admittedly, we say that attempting to live a good Christian life can be frustrating, when we are not guided and we are not aided along. But God did not leave us without aid, without help. And that's why we begin on this series of study, so that we may be able to take hold of instruction, take hold of wisdom in the comfort, in the quiet of this sanctuary, so that the truth of God's word can come into us, we may receive the instruction we need. May we take time to seek through prayer, through the meditation of His word, through the aid of messages, sermons, that it may help us, that this life may be easier when we have to make a decision. It may be more fulfilling when we have to make choices what to do. We have the wisdom that God has already instilled in our hearts. Admittedly, we said that we all start out with little experience and knowledge. The student who has completed his studies begin to go to the working world. And to go to the working world to see, you realize that, wow, what are your credentials? And you prepare your resume, you prepare your cover letter. What do you write there? And what can you offer? You realize that you're fresh out of school. Not much I can offer in terms of experience. But God gives to us His wisdom and He prepares us to be a ready learner. Prepares us for life. And so, here you see in the book of Proverbs how the word of God is given to us in very succinct words. What the proverb means, likeness or resemblance, just like the parables that are in the New Testament. There is a story to learn, or there is a message to learn by a story or analogy, and it is placed for us in a very succinct, compact way, so that we may be able to learn it and pick it up quickly and be able to apply it to our life. So the book of Proverbs is what we call biblical poetry. And the words are, the sentences are given with similar thoughts, contrasting thoughts, thoughts that add to another thought to help us to see and have a picture for guidance in life. Verse 1 tells us that the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. But the words are the wisdom of God. God used him. The Spirit of God used him to be the pen writer of this book. It delineates for us the philosophy, giving us the best rules for the conduct of life, that we may, by imbibing the wisdom, obtain the favor of God, to live with a clear conscience, having lived it right. Solomon is often called the great preacher who failed to practice. And as we look at the life of Solomon, we realize that there is the fool in all of us, that the book of Proverbs exposes, and we realize how poor and wretched we are. But the Lord doesn't want us to stay that way. If we would take time to imbibe the wisdom, then we would not be the fool, but the wise one. It was only in his old age, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, that he has, if you say, repent of his foolishness. Sometimes we learn it in the heart. You
want to test me out. Someone who says to you, okay, it's no good to smoke, no good to try and drink. But we said, everyone seemed to be enjoying it. See, those who were doing that, they looked so in. And why should I not try it? That leader, that temptation that seems so alluring. We realize that we are not careful. We fall and we learn those habits that will cripple us for life. And therefore, the Lord wants us to learn from this book, this wisdom literature, the way to live in this life. And the three thoughts that we want to bring before you is, firstly, learn the fear of God. Learn the fear of God. And secondly, to believe in His Word, to learn it and to believe it, and then to act on it. Sounds very simple, right? It's true. But how many, how many have failed? Our writer Solomon is one good example. So, verse 1 of the verse 7 of our text tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He tells us that the fear of God is the chief knowledge that you need to learn. What is the fear of God? The fear of God speaks of one who fears God, speaks of one whose heart is attuned to a right knowledge of God. That He is Creator, that He is Judge. Of course, we know that He's human. But if we would not walk with Him, to follow Him, there is danger in the way. And therefore, the fear of God leads one to have that reverential respect for God, and it results in a holy desire to obey. So when we say that we are to worship Him one day in heaven, the Bible teaches us that we are to come to His house, worship Him, and that the fear of God would enable us, would give to us that energy to get prepared, to prepare our hearts, and to prepare our body, and to prepare ourselves to have the strength to make that journey to the house of God, and to come before Him, quiet before Him, to receive the wisdom from His Word. And so the Lord wants us to understand, first, to learn the fear of God. The fear of God means godly piety. It means godly piety. A godliness that is in our heart to seek God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This knowledge that God gives to us concerning Himself gives to us great wisdom. No, we don't come from the ears. The Lord has wonderfully and fearfully revealed us. And if we understand this, that we are made in the image of God, then there is a strength in our heart to know that we are special. That we are here on earth for a purpose. God has created us for a reason. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. element was God, that God created and placed them there. God said to them, one thing you must not do. Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. So, Adam and Eve, for a moment, the fear of God departed from them. The fear of God seemed to have left them in that moment of void. In that moment of rashness, in that moment of recklessness, we fell. But God wants us to understand how great are His fears. He said, you shall surely die. To die, you shall die. And what happened when they had the fruit? Indeed, they died. They suffered terribly, and their posterity suffered terribly. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, verse 1 says, despise, make light of this wisdom, make light of this instruction. What's the meaning of the word instruction? The word instruction is correction. It's chastening. The Lord gives us instruction so that we may know the way to live our life when we have gone wrong. It reproves us, shows us where we have gone wrong, and corrects us and brings us to the way of God, the way of blessing. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge. And the knowledge of God is revealed to us. We see in creation, yes, victory. Most importantly, you see in this world. God Himself has to reveal His truth to us. Proverbs 9 says, it's the beginning of wisdom. When you have the fear of God in you, you learn to imbibe the truth of God. You learn to imbibe the things of God. And what does the fear of God lead us to that? Well, I suggest to you this, that the fear of God gives to us a teachable heart. The fear of God gives to us a teachable heart to imbibe the ways of God as a way. We are willing to listen. We are willing to be instructed. We are willing to be patient. We are willing to be restful in our spirit. We are willing to hear. We are willing to be attentive. We are willing to seek. There is a channeling of our energy, a teachable heart. And it also suggests, I believe, a humility of heart. The fear of God gives to us a humility of heart to realize that we are not there. And it enables us to allow the Word of God, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to guide our thoughts, to guide our life. So, Dennis Gibson, our writer in our devotion, tells us that knowledge is facts based on information. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, facts in action. And he says the most intelligent thing we can do is to fear. Fear suggests something negative. But this fear is always positive. We do things that displease God. And fear is the proper attitude. And that, but here we speak often when we speak of the fear of God, we speak of having to be on good terms with God. And so how can we be on good terms with God? Well, willing to learn the wisdom that God has for us. So when Adam and Eve said, was given the instruction by the Lord, don't eat. The instruction was very clear, and the instruction brings with it also a consequence. If you eat, you will die. It comes with it a curse. It comes with it a condemnation. And we live to experience the fall. And so the Lord wants us to know this fear of God also suggests a way of faith. The fear of God enables us to have faith, willing to take God at His word, to trust and to obey Him. So the God-fearer is contrasted with the foolish who despise wisdom, is contrasted with the depraved, the degenerate man. The Bible says there is no fear of God before Him. Romans 3:18. But that's not what we should be, because that's disaster. The Bible gives us many examples. And the fear of God is also not a spirit of cowardice. The fear of men. But here, the fear of God, the Bible tells us, is strong confidence. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of God, there is strong confidence. It allows you to invite, to want to invite, learn the wisdom of God, and then to want to put it to practice. There is an inclination in your heart and the things of God. You will not fear the faces with his meeting out judgment. You will not fear. God says this: I am willing to stake my claim, I'm willing to stake my life, I'm willing to stake my all for what God is saying to me. I believe it is true. So the fear of God brings to us all this, we must conjure all this thoughts. And you know, the man Saul feared the people, and he sinned greatly. The Bible tells us, 1 Samuel 15:4. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I fear the people and obey. God gives to us the word. And if we do not fear God, then we fear the faces of men. We fear that, oh, if I don't do this, I may miss out on my promotion. Boss says, do this. Conscience says, no, don't do. The fear of God will tell you that you have to obey God rather to fear men and be cowed into a wrong decision. So the Lord wants us to cultivate that kind of mind that is wise in its mind. The God-fearer is not worldly wise. He is not wise in his own wisdom. or in this world's wisdom. Bible says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. So the fear of God would cause us to realize that we don't know, to have an understanding that we really need to learn, that we are willing to open our eyes wide, open our ears wide, to listen to godly counsel. And there is a strength in you when the fear of God is in you to obey His voice. Deuteronomy 30 verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him. What was Moses doing? Well, this was his last words before they entered the promised land. When they entered the promised land, the manna was not going to fall from heaven anymore, but they would have goodly plantations, vineyards. They're going to prosper because it's going to be a fertile land filled with milk and honey. And they're going to be filled so full that they're going to forget that their blessings come. They're going to forget the giver, the source of their blessing. And so there is that kind of a complacent spirit which Moses said to the Israelites, you must not. Especially in our generation. You see, now, prosperity is here. It seems to be so captivating and real. But dear friends, let us realize that it is a deception. This prosperity that we have today is not real prosperity. It's built upon debt. And the nations of the world are in great debt. And they keep the music going, the sound moving. The nation of China has debts more than 200% of its GDP. And all the world before, the United States, more than 100%. And here in Singapore also, well, we think that we can live that high life, ready credit. Everything seems to be so prosperous. But as we go into the book of Proverbs, we will be giving more warning signs to tell you that it's not like what you think it is. Trouble is ahead of you. You better be awakened. So, know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to know in your heart and your mind what is it that you should do, to receive instruction of wisdom and justice, the right way, rightness, righteousness, the way of God, and judgment. What is right? How do you decide something? Well, God gives us a yardstick for measurement. If you know God, His word, His law, He will show you how you can justly order the relationships before you. And equity, what is fair. What is that which God wants you to have? What is upright? What is strict? What is equitable? The Lord will show you from His word. And here we said in verse 4, to give you that subtlety so that you may be able to understand, that skill, that prudence, so that you can, as it were, read between the lines. You are faced with the things confronting you as you go out. And the Lord wants you to be able to see, to know His ways, to give subtlety to the people, to the young men, knowledge and discretion. How important it is. And the fear of God will lead us to live holy lives. To understand that God judges men after their sins. That we may be on our toes. Sometimes we are immediately ignorant. Sometimes we choose to be ignorant. And we fall and we pay a price. We will say it to our lips. At that age, you make a lot of important decisions. And if you have not the wisdom of God, the decisions that you take is going to impact you for a lifetime. You are going to live the consequences of yours. What will you do in your career? What will you study? Who will you choose as a spouse? Decisions that you take at an early age. When you are young, when you're not prepared and you take those decisions, you live. Well, you stand to live by those decisions for a lifetime. And so the Lord wants us to see that if we have the fear of God in us, it really brings us faith. We learn to hate evil, pride, the evil way, arrogance, the forward mouth, we learn to control our tongue. We learn to check our words. Without the fear of God, the church, the society itself breaks down. This week we were studying from the nation of Israel the criteria for judges. And the first criteria that was given to Moses was that the man must be a God-fearer. A man who is to be a judge is to be a God-fearer. Meaning that you make a right judgment concerning things. And we say to our young people, especially now is the time to learn the things of God. Now is the time to study. And it all begins with a heart that is after God. That we will hunger and we thirst after the things. So we said, The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And we must not despise this knowledge and this instruction. And you will notice, and you will continue with next week, of how this instruction is from a father to a son. The father instructing the son. How important it is that the father would be the main teacher in the home, in instructing his own children, because ultimately he's the one responsible for how they would turn out. And indeed, it is with fear and trembling that we embark upon life and life's responsibilities. How can we better shoulder it? How can we better execute it for God's honor and glory? The instruction is given by God and His Word. It begins with the right attitude. It begins with the fear. It begins with the teaching. A heart of faith. A heart that is inclined to listen and to obey the things of God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy Word. Thank Thee for giving to us understanding concerning how we ought to live our lives. Lord, may Thou help us to be good learners of Thy Word and give us the faith to act upon it, that we may indeed benefit from what we have learned out of Thy Word. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.